the acquisition of up to 100 Rafale fighter jets, the state-of-the-art jets with their full armament systems. This is the next delivery after the Mirage 2000 and the training of pilots. We will now deploy these Rafales alongside the training programs that correspond to this delivery. Have learned our history. If Ukraine is not credible and strong, Russia will violate its own commitments. This is why we are doing what we do today.
This is my video update on this Monday afternoon, November the 17th, coming to you from Larnaca, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with Trump about to board Air Force One to head back to Washington, D.C. from Florida. And he spoke to reporters and he said that the United States is talking to Maduro. The U.S. is in talks with Maduro. And there might be some sort of de-escalation, or at least that is what Trump was hinting at. Maybe that's what he was hinting at. Or maybe, just maybe, this is some more foreign policy trickery that the Trump White House enjoys to engage in. The Trump White House has already spoken with Maduro and his administration. The New York Times reported on the talks that took place between the White House and Maduro back in October. And the New York Times, if you believe their reporting, they claimed that Maduro, in order to avoid a conflict with the United States, he was ready to give up most of Venezuela's natural resources, their energy resources. He was ready to give the United States preferential treatment when it came to Venezuelan oil and other natural resources. He was ready, according to the New York Times, to downgrade or outright cut ties with China and Iran and Russia. And according to the NYT, this is back in October, this was still not enough for the United States. Rubio, he said, nope. Not enough. You're not going far enough, Maduro. And so the talks broke down. And now you have Trump telling reporters, we may be having some discussions with Maduro, and we'll see how that turns out. But they would like to talk. Marco Rubio posted on X that the U.S. State Department intends to designate Cartel de los Soles as a foreign terrorist organization, an FTO, headed by the illegitimate Nicolas Maduro. The group has corrupted the institutions of government in Venezuela and is responsible for terrorist violence conducted by and with other designated FTOs, as well as for trafficking drugs into the United States and Europe. So this cartel has been designated a foreign terrorist organization headed by illegitimate, according to Rubio, Nicolas Maduro. And this was posted today, the 17th of November. At the same time that Trump is saying that the United States maybe having discussions with Maduro. That's Trump's words. Maybe having discussions with Maduro. but they would like to talk, as Trump is telling this to reporters, signaling at some possible de-escalation. You have the Secretary of State preparing the way for U.S. strikes on Venezuela. There is no other reason to designate this cartel as a foreign terrorist and then say that it is headed up by Maduro, who is illegitimate, according to Rubio, unless you were preparing some sort of strike on Venezuela and perhaps some sort of decapitation strike or regime change. That is the only reason that Rubio would post something like this on X. My thinking is that the Trump White House is indeed in talks, if you want to call it talks. I would say it's more of the Trump White House is giving Maduro an ultimatum. Either you leave Venezuela, exit Venezuela ASAP, or else we are going to be launching our strike on your country. I think that is what is going on here, if I had to take a guess. So Trump also told reporters that Congress is putting together some sort of legislation which will punish countries that do business with Russia and also Iran. Mainly it's doing business with Russia, but Trump told reporters, I also told them to put Iran in there, and Trump was very proud of that. He was very proud of the fact that he also thought of Iran as far as this legislation is concerned. So basically, any country that does any kind of business with Russia and Iran and Iran. Oh boy, it's warm. It is very warm. Oh my God. It's getting kind of cold for Cyprus. For Cyprus, it's getting kind of cold, but the water is still fairly warm. But Trump is basically saying any country that does business with Russia or Iran will face embargoes. An embargo. It's an embargo on Russia. It's an embargo on Russia. Any country that does business will be punished. And what Trump is announcing is that Congress is putting together an embargo, a blockade on Russia and on Iran. That is what Trump told reporters, and he's cool with it. He approves all of this. He thought of Iran, but he's absolutely cool with Congress, also known as Lindsey Graham, putting together this type of legislation, escalation, an embargo. Man, that is a huge escalation. A blockade embargo is a massive escalation, and you know what's going to happen, right? You know what's going to happen if this actually is approved. Then what's going to happen is that countries are going to stop trading with the United States, man. That's what's going to happen, man. He's going to piss off just about every country in the world, with the exception of the collective West. And the collective West will still trade with Russia because they have to. They'll have some trade with Russia. Even the European countries will have some trade with Russia. But basically, this is going to piss off just about every country on the planet. Starting with BRICS, starting with China, starting with India and South Africa and Brazil and all the members of BRICS. Yeah, they're not going to like this latest move from Trump. How do you embargo? How do you blockade Russia? How do you punish countries that do trade with Russia? You're talking about oil and gas and minerals and food, wheat, metals, timber. You name it, Russia's got it. You name it, Russia has got it. The United States is doing trade with Russia, right? They're doing a ton of trade. Well, not a ton of trade, but they are doing trade with Russia. Uranium. Right? So anyway, that's what Trump announced. Russia's reaction to all of this is that they think that Trump is someone that they can talk to. That was Ushakov's response to reporters who asked him about Putin's presidential aide. They asked him about talks with the United States and what's going on. And he said that, look, Alaska is still on the table and that there are some talks going on with the United States, but we have to start with what was agreed on in Alaska, which is essentially Istanbul Plus. But he also said that that Russia still views Trump as someone who they can negotiate with. They see Trump as someone who takes into consideration the root causes of the conflict in Ukraine. So as the United States, as Trump is talking about blockading Russia, which is going to backfire bigly on the Trump administration, as he's talking about this, and as Congress is preparing this, the Russian side is saying, yeah, Trump, we're down with Trump. We can deal with Trump. I like it. I like it a lot. Oh, man. Incredible stuff, man. Incredible stuff. And that brings us to the Green Goblin. Since we're talking about incredible stuff, let's talk about the man who is now decked out in some very posh black suits. Without the tie. Without the tie, but he's still going with the black getup, and he is on a tour of Europe. Zelensky is touring Europe. He is on a road trip across Europe. He was in Greece yesterday, and today he landed in France to get some Macron hugging action. Yeah, corruption scandals in Kiev, front line completely collapsing, Russia advancing in five different regions, Zaporozhye collapsing, Kupiansk captured, Pokrovsk captured, Mirnograd captured, $100 million energy scandal with gold toilet seats. And what does Zelensky do? He does what he always does when he is in trouble. That is what he is doing. He gets on a plane and he goes and sees his buddies in Europe so they can comfort and console the little Green Goblin. How are things going, little Green Goblin? Are you okay? Yes, I'm okay, Mr. Macron. It's been a very difficult couple weeks, you understand. Yeah, so Zelensky number five meets Sauvignon, Dior Sauvignon, Zelensky number five and Dior Sauvignon. And they were happy to see each other. They were so happy to see each other that they even signed a big military deal. A big military deal is what they have signed, France and Ukraine. Ukraine is going to get a whole lot of weapons from France. And the French people are going to pay for these weapons. The French people are going to pay to give Ukraine weapons. That's the kind of deal that they put together. Because Ukraine doesn't have the money. Ukraine is broke. Ukraine is going to be completely broke and bankrupt. No more of the money that the collective West has been giving them. That's all gone. They will all be at zero by April. And even Ursula is sending a letter to all EU heads of state telling them that Ukraine needs 137.5 billion euros. I think that's the number that she put it at, according to Reuters, if my memory serves me correct. 137.5 billion euros, or $137.5 billion, is what Ukraine needs in the next few months. And if we can't get that money from the Russian frozen assets, well, then EU member states are going to have to pony up the money. right? It's a binary choice. Either we steal the Russian frozen assets and cause a meltdown in our economies, or EU member states have to go into debt and give the money over to Ukraine, causing financial troubles in the economies of the broken, bankrupt EU member states. The binary choice. Of course, there's option number three, which is no thank you to option number one and option number two. Not interested in stealing the Russian frozen assets. Not interested in borrowing money so I can then send it to Ukraine. I am out. That is the third option that I am certain Hungary and Slovakia and possibly even the Czech Republic may opt for. But a big military deal between Zelensky and Macron, and some of the reports claim that in this deal, Ukraine is going to purchase with French money. They're going to purchase 100 Rafale fighter jets. 100 fighter jets. And where are they going to get the pilots for these fighter jets? Don't know. Don't care. But it's going to complement the 150 Gripen fighter jets that Ukraine is getting from Sweden, right? So Ukraine is building a massive, a very diverse, massive air force, because you want your air force to be very diverse. And it's going to have Rafale fighter jets. They're trying to get Mirage fighter jets from Greece. But it looks like Greece didn't give over the Mirage fighter jets. It looks like Greece didn't give over the Patriots. Because the only thing that was agreed on in Athens yesterday was a gas deal. Greece is going to send US LNG. US LNG is going to come to the port in Alexandroupoli. And then it's going to go into the Greece gas transport transportation system, right? It's going to head into the Greek pipelines, which are interconnected. These are not new pipelines. These are interconnected with pipelines in Bulgaria and then towards Romania and then from Romania to Moldova and then into Ukraine. And they're saying it's going to end up in the Odessa region. So it's going to come as liquefied natural gas from the United States. And then it's going to make its way through existing interconnected pipelines to Ukraine. This is called the Vertical Gas Corridor. And everyone's very excited in Europe and in the United States to see if this Vertical Gas Corridor can actually get the gas, the US LNG from Greece to Ukraine. And I'm sure that Russia is not going to do anything to disrupt the gas going from Moldova to Ukraine. I'm sure that the last leg of this corridor will be fine. It's going to be stored in Ukraine. That is the plan. But going back to the weapons, a lot of people were thinking that the gas is going to also be LNG from Greece to Odessa, and Odessa doesn't have an LNG terminal. They're talking about building a floating LNG terminal, but that's not going to happen. But the plan is to pipeline the gas from existing interconnected pipelines. But it looks like Zelensky didn't get the Patriots. It looks like he did not get the Mirage from Greece, but he's going to have 100 Rafale and 150 Gripen and zero pilots, right? Zero pilots, French pilots, French and Swedish pilots, I guess NATO pilots is what we may be looking at. So that's what's going on with Zelensky in France. Umerov, he's still missing, man. Umerov is still missing. He took off five, six days ago. Allegedly, he went to Turkey to sort out a prisoner exchange with Russia and Ukraine. And then he somehow ended up in Qatar. And now who knows where Umerov is, the one-time former defense minister and an Zelensky insider and someone who, according to Ukraine media, is very much under investigation for the Energoatom $100 million scandal. He is one of the people that Nabu is allegedly investigating in this scandal, and he has gone missing now for 6 days. Surprise, surprise. And Zelensky's approval rating has taken a huge hit from this scandal. Ukraine media is reporting that Zelensky's approval is reaching Keir Starmer levels. It has dropped 40 points since the outbreak of this scandal. Alexander Stubb, the leader of Finland, he gave an interview to the Associated Press, I believe. Mr. Stubb sat down with the Associated Press and he gave a very insightful interview to the Associated Press, which focused on Project Ukraine. What else is Alexander Stubb going to talk about in his perfect, excellent English? I have to admit, Alexander Stubb, his English is much better than my American English. And he said that there will be no negotiations, no deal in Ukraine, in the fighting in Ukraine, at least not for 2025. And most likely we may start to get some sort of a negotiation in place or get started in the spring of 2026. That is what Stubb said. No Ukraine ceasefire this year. Truce or peace talks could take place by next spring, said Alexander Stubb. And then he went on to say that the collective West needs to give more money and more weapons to Ukraine. And Ukraine needs to strike deep into Russian territory, very deep into Russian territory. That is what Ukraine needs to do, to strike very, 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 very deep into Russia. And then he was asked about the corruption scandal. You want to give more money to Project Ukraine? And the Associated Press journalist said, what about the corruption problems in Ukraine? What about this $100 million scandal in Ukraine? What are your thoughts about that? Perfect English, Alexander Stubb. And Stubb, he said, look, corruption no good, but my buddy Zelensky, he's going to, or he should get it sorted and cleared out. Right? No problem, man. 100 million. Come on, Mr. Associated Press reporter. Why are you bothering me about $100 million? Come on. Finland gave that to Zelensky just this morning. We just gave him $100 million. It's nothing. He should just get it sorted and cleared out of the way, according to Alexander Stubb. So, staying with scandals, let's go back to the United States and talk about the Epstein files. The Epstein files. Not the X-Files. The Epstein files. And Trump has done one of his biggest and best flip-flops. He has done a big, big flip-flop. He posted on Truth Social and he told reporters before boarding Air Force One that he is okay with the Republicans voting to release the Epstein files. He is actually calling on the House Republicans to vote to release Epstein files. The vote that is going to take place in the House is connected to the Epstein Files Transparency Act, which was put forth by Thomas Massie. He was one of the politicians to put forth the Epstein Files Transparency Act. Someone who Trump does not like. Someone who Trump is trying to remove in primary. But anyway, it looks like Massey's Epstein Files Transparency Act is getting the votes that it will need, or will get the votes that it will need to pass. And this has put Trump in a very difficult position because the House does look like it is going to approve this act. Then it will go to the Senate, where it's very, very likely the Senate will vote to approve this act. And then what's Trump going to do? Then what is Trump going to do? He's going to have to sign this, right? It's going to end up on his desk and he's going to have to sign this. Can you imagine Trump vetoing the Epstein Files Transparency Act? Can you imagine him vetoing such legislation? Boy, would that be disaster for,
for the U.S. president if that were to happen. So basically, he is now flip-flopping and telling House Republicans, just vote for the thing. Vote yes for the Epstein Files Transparency Act. The aim of the bill is to make the Justice Department release all unclassified records, documents, communications, and investigative materials linked to Jeffrey Epstein. Keep in mind, unclassified. I imagine there is a whole lot of classified documents that we are never going to see. Can you imagine all of this trouble just for unclassified documents, unclassified records? Can you imagine the classified trying to understand what is classified when it comes to Epstein? Oh my God. But anyway, it's a start. Unclassified documents, records is a start. That is the Epstein Files Transparency Act, which will be voted on this week. Trump posted on Truth Social, quite a long post, but he said that House Republicans should vote to release the Epstein files because we have nothing to hide. The Department of Justice has already turned over tens of thousands of pages to the public on Epstein, are looking at various Democrat operatives, Bill Clinton, Reid Hoffman, Larry Summers, and their relationship to Epstein, and the House Oversight Committee can have whatever they are legally entitled to. I don't care. Trump said that he just wants Republicans to get back on point, all caps, back on point, and I don't care is in all caps. So now Trump doesn't care. Just doesn't care. I really don't care. Vote yes, whatever. I don't care. That's his new position when it comes to the Epstein files. He still calls it a Democrat hoax, by the way. He said that in his Truth Social post. And he is claiming that the release of these files will do more damage to the Democrats. If that is the case, then why were you making such a stink over this? Why? Why were you making such a freaking stink over this if it's going to do more damage to the Democrats? If you know that this is going to do more damage to the Democrats, then why did you just not release this? I mean, what is the thinking here, Trump? What is the thinking? Why were you making it so difficult knowing that this is going to do more damage to the Democrats? You would think that that is what the Republicans would want, right? But anyway, that is Trump's latest flip-flop. He doesn't care anymore. He just doesn't care. I just don't care. I like it, and I don't care. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't care. Oh, boy. He was also asked about Marjorie Taylor Greene by reporters. MTG. She actually apologized, not so much to Trump. I mean, it was an apology to Trump in a way. But basically, she told CNN, Dana Bash, that she just wants the political toxicity, the fighting to stop. She said everything is very toxic in the party right now, in the MAGA movement. And she apologized. She said, look, I'm apologizing for my role in toxic politics, in this toxic political atmosphere environment with the Epstein files. And, you know, it was an olive branch to Trump. It genuinely was an olive branch to Trump. That's what Marjorie Taylor Greene was telling Dana Bash. And Trump was asked about this, and Trump basically said, I don't care, man. I don't care. I don't care. I don't accept this apology, this olive branch from Marjorie Taylor Greene. He actually said Marjorie Traitor Greene. Because Marjorie Taylor Greene, in the interview, she said the most hurtful thing that she heard from Trump is when he accused her of being a traitor. So the reporter asked Trump about what Marjorie Taylor Greene said about lowering the temperature and about apologizing for her role in this toxic political environment. And Trump said Marjorie Taylor, Trader Greene is what he said. He said Marjorie Trader Greene. So he corrected the reporter. Very, very petty. Very childish, actually. That's something like a five-year-old would do, right? The reporter says, what do you think about Marjorie Taylor Greene apologizing on CNN? It's Marjorie Traitor Greene is what Trump said. He also said that he doesn't believe that that Marjorie Taylor Greene is in any kind of physical danger. He also said that as well because MTG is saying that she's now facing some physical threats to her and her family. Anyway, that's that. And I think we can segue into our clown world. And our first clown world takes us back to Ukraine, takes us back to the Energoatom scandal. And one of the companies that is implicated indirectly in this scandal, maybe directly, but they've denied any wrongdoing, is Firepoint, which was Mindich associated, Timur Mindich, who is now he's out of Ukraine. He's the ringleader of all of this, according to Nabu. He bolted. He's Audi 5000 from Ukraine, and now he's allegedly in Israel, but. This is a company that he's associated with. It was an entertainment scouting agency, and then it became a drone manufacturing juggernaut, Goliath of a drone manufacturing enterprise. They even scored, according to the New York Times, a $1 billion drone deal. And it's not only drones, it's also the super-duper unstoppable Flamingo missile that they're also involved in. Anyway, Firepoint denies any involvement whatsoever in all of this this Energoatom $100 million scandal. But in order to perhaps in order to get some krisha, they have appointed Mike Pompeo to their advisory board. This really does remind me of Burisma and Hunter Biden. Really does remind me of the whole Burisma Hunter Biden thing. But they're now turning to Mike Pompeo. Get a little roof. A little roof over your head there with some krisha. At least that's how it looks. Maybe I'm wrong about this, but Mike Pompeo, very well connected with the neocons, very well connected in the U.S. deep state. He all of a sudden is now on the advisory board of Firepoint. Not a bad move, actually, if you're Firepoint, to be quite honest. It makes sense. Let's get Mike Pompeo in here and put him on our advisory board and make sure that everything remains okay with our business $1 billion drone Flamingo contract, according to the New York Times. This is all according to the New York Times, not according to me. This is the New York Times' reporting, but Ukraine media is saying that Mike Pompeo is indeed joining the advisory board of the scrutinized Ukrainian defense firm Firepoint. Former U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has joined the advisory board of a Ukrainian defense company known for its Flamingo long-range missiles, the AP reported. Interesting. Interesting stuff, man. I'm getting Hunter Burisma vibes. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see how all of this shakes out. We'll see what comes of the Flamingo. The Flamingo missile. Axios is reporting that Switzerland, they lobbied Trump with gifts, gold, and gab. This is according to Axios. In order to lower the Trump tariffs, Switzerland got Trump to cut harsh tariffs by appealing directly to his tastes, according to Axios. A delegation of top Swiss business leaders arrived at the White House with lavish gifts, including a $130,000 personalized gold bar and a Rolex desk clock, plus flattery and promises of U.S. investment. Trump, who's known to appreciate gold, luxury, and business titans, warmed to the gesture. Days later, the U.S. slashed tariffs on Swiss goods from 39% to 15%. source for all of this is Axios. This is not me. But is this real? Is this real? This is really what happened? This is really what happened? And is this on the up and up, man? I don't know. Axios is doing this reporting here and sounds very, very suspicious for Swiss business leaders to come to the White House and give all these gifts. And then Trump lowers the tariffs from 39% to 16 or 15%. I don't know. I don't know what Axios is reporting here, but I'm just reading you the news. That's all I'm doing, just reading you the news. By the way, I talked about some of the communication in the Epstein files, where an email message from Epstein and his brother. His last name would also be Epstein, right? So Epstein and Epstein, they were communicating, and they talked about a guy named Bubba. The reports are that Bubba is not referencing Clinton. It's referencing someone else. There are rumors who this is, but I can't confirm any of this, so I'm just not even going to go there. I'm just going to say that the reports are that this has nothing to do with Clinton, the Bubba email exchange. And that is the video. And unfortunately, I once again forgot to say subscribe and hit that like button and share this video. I'm so terrible at this YouTube stuff. Anyway, subscribe to this channel. Share this video. Hit that like button. Hit that like button. And also, you can follow me on X, on Telegram. We are on Rumble, and we have a pretty cool Substack that is taking shape. Just started on Substack, but I think it's going to be pretty good. So check that out as well. I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.